Doesn't that computer know who you
are? Don't they have any idea?
Bow down to the Tech Talk host.
That's right. That's right. That's right.
Behold the glory that is
me. A little while ago, I was installing some software, and I ran across this exact same
thing. I find you pompous, judgmental, and completely self-absorbed. Would you be my
onto
friend?
A Windows Vista machine.
You would think.
You'd think there'd be no problem.
How could there be a problem with that?
I'd say in a given week, I'd probably only do about 15 minutes of real, actual work.
Directory permissions with config.msi directory, blah, 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 blah.
This is Tech Talk.
This is Moscow calling. On the 12th of April, the Soviet Union orbited a spaceship.
All right, this is... Yeah, here we go. I think we got it all together. We got. You know what? I've got different buttons I got to even push today because I've got Dave Sparky Saganaki right here.
Morning, everybody. Yeah. Welcome to the program. I could actually say that from the studio this morning.
Award-winning Dave Sparky Saganaki is what I should say.
As are you.
Member of Excellence or something along those lines?
I don't even know what it was for. To tell you the truth. Last night was WRLRG Awards, a big celebration we have every year, fundraiser for the station.
A blowout, a blast. They did an amazing job. Whoever was coordinating,
Sean,
I don't know all the
Sean
names.
Sean Hauser, Mick Cullen, I don't even know, Carolyn Howard was on the committee.
Yep.
They all did wonderfully.
Yeah, best one yet. No doubt. It was 10-year anniversary.
Food was great. Thanks to Parkway Banquets, they did a wonderful job.
Yep.
We had a great time. Mm-hmm. Lakeside.
Yes.
Lakeside.
That is
next
one,
to Long Lake.
That is one stinky lake. Yeah. I'm telling you. Don't.
I wasn't going to say
that. You don't want to go walking on the beach there. I don't know what's going on in that place. But,
one thing that was very interesting was the 10-year anniversary of WRLR as well. It is going to be, I guess, September 2nd. It's not quite the 10-year anniversary. And we were so lucky to have Stan Bauer there, who was the original WRLR station manager and was instrumental in getting the WRLR on the air.
Definitely.
And also, he pointed out that Tech Talk originated on his show years ago.
Yeah, I felt bad because he brought this up, and it was after I had gone up. I actually got an award myself, too. So I had gone up, and I'd been given...
Of course, yeah.
I got the opportunity to talk, and, people who know me know there's not too many times that I'm left... speechless.
But that was one of them.
The one thing I wanted to respond to Stan. So Stan actually, he gave me a hard time. He said, hey, that Kassler guy, he used to be my show 15 minute thing, and now he's here for 10 years. What's going on? He stole the show. But I need to tell, and hopefully Stan will hear this at some point. I need to tell the real story okay. of what happened. Here's
all right. The origins. This is the origin story. This is like Star Wars or
This is it. This is exactly it. This is it. So there's
many
two
years ago.
There's two parts
on the plains of Baldar.
That's right.
There was a radio station.
That's about it. I fortunately didn't have to slice open any bantas to stay warm. Although it was a little chilly here in the early days. I'm trying to think which actual origin story I should tell. There's two of them. One, the sports guys just got off, and they really need to do a shout out to Papa Bauer, because Stan, he was the guy who made sports happen at WRLR initially, and that's how I heard about WRLR is he walked into the admin offices over at Round Lake. And
when you were IT director,
I was IT director there. I didn't know who he was. Apparently everybody else did.
Did he scare you when he first saw that?
It was very intense. Very intense.
We love Stan.
No, absolutely.
So we can make fun of him.
Definitely. Well, apparently other people knew him because they wouldn't pay attention to him or listen to him. But I didn't know who he was. So
so you listened.
So I was like, "What? What's going on?" He said, "Hey, I want to do a live broadcast from the football stadium." And so I said, sure, that sounds like a great idea. Let's make it happen. You know, there's no wires. There's no wireless either. There's nothing to get any signal out there. Yeah. But I'm like, well, yeah, why not? You know, Stan in ropes other words, me
this,
in.
This was a fantasy or just an abstraction of an idea.
Pretty much.
And the practical aspects of it had not been thought through?
At all. Well, I think what had happened is I think, yes, yeah, exactly.
I'm sorry. I just did an eye roll. Yeah. You probably didn't see it. The listeners probably did not see it.
I think what had happened is Stan had gone to every other high school in the area because you know Round Lake is not really known for the high standard and quality of their football team generally. So so everybody else said, yeah, forget it, except for this idiot, you know, over at Round Lake. I'm like, oh sure, why not? Yeah, let's do it. So it wasn't easy and it wasn't fun, but it was very
well, come on, not even in retrospect.
No, not even. But having said that, it was very WRLR that it was not fun. It was not easy. But between a couple of dedicated people, we made it happen. And for the first time ever in the community area, we had live football broadcasts going on for these big sporting events that were happening in the community. Very, very cool thing. Like I said, none of that would have happened without Stan. And here's me getting on the radio, though. So I'm not on the radio at that point. Here's me getting on the radio. So Stan and I build this relationship, and he knows that I'm very proud of what I've done at the Round Lake schools. And we've got a brand new website. We brought in a whole bunch of stuff that made life easier for the students, made life better for the parents, the teachers, everybody. Things were getting better over there. And so Stan said, hey, why don't you come on? The community needs to hear about this, about how you did it, what's happening. Come on the air some evening and we'll talk and we'll do it. And I'm like, and I'm kind of nervous. I'm not a radio guy. I'm not like the other people here.
Well, you weren't then
anyway. Yeah, well, I wasn't at the time. It wasn't.
And some would argue that.
Many. Every day I hear. I said, well, you know, I was nervous. I was like, well, how long is it going to be? He's like, wait, 15, 20 minutes, half an hour, you know, whatever you got in you. It's fine. You know, we'll cover it. We'll talk about it. It'll be fun. And so I came in, and I came in that night, and a week or so later, and sure, he was as good as his word. And Stan, if you've never heard Stan on the radio, you should hunt down his shows or listen to what he's got.
He's still doing internet
doing
radio.
Stuff now. Golden Voice,
Stan Bauer, Bauer.
That's right. Yeah. That's right. Yeah.
And Stack. They used to do the Stack and Die show here.
He told me they still occasionally get together. Yeah. Sundays.
Yeah. Yeah. They. It's a shame. Professionally, they were great. I guess not.
Personally,
not so much, but they're still good friends and all that. They were married, is what the deal was. Mm-hmm. So, and also, first of all, when Stan was crying thief, more or less, he didn't say it exactly that way, but he was kind of saying that you stole the idea or something for Tech Talk. I was kind of incredulous because radio is just another word for creative larceny, isn't it? I mean, we're always stealing. You know, there's a huge gaping maw of time to fill on radio, and you're always looking for good ideas. And if there's a good idea and somebody doesn't have it copyrighted, and even sometimes when they do, you take it.
Definitely.
And also Stan said something, and he's got every right to say this, by the way. He kind of referred to WRLR as his radio station. Like, he does have a certain right to do that because he was key in getting WRLR going. However, I have a little bit different view about it. I don't think WRLR is ours. I think we belong to WRLR.
Yes.
I think that's that we're dedicated to the community and we're here to serve it. And Stan did that early on, and the tradition goes on, and we sort of do it.
Yeah.
I mean, you and I.
Yeah, no, absolutely. Yeah. And we're still part of it. You're not physically in the community. You're not physically here. But you are. You are, like, it'll never not be Dave Sinaki, part of the WRLR history community. The whole
that sounds like the mob or something.
You can't get out.
No. Sometimes I need to think that I am.
Yeah, yeah. You can pretend, but you're always getting back. So I got to finish this part of the story though, because it's fine.
Yeah.
It's relevant to what you're saying too, because I think this is important, and you know this is maybe a little more deep than I might often get. But anyway, so I come in though, and sure fair enough. He's as good as his word, and we do the 30 minutes on the changes that we've made to the radio station and all the other good stuff that's been happening. And it was great. It was great. And then he turns to me and he points those. And if you know Stan, he's got this laser eye grab that he does, and he gives me this laser eye grab, and then says on the mic, he goes, "What else you got?" and fortunately, I pull out of my back pocket. I was planning a little bit ahead. I pulled out of my back. No, it's not typical for me. I pulled out of my back pocket. I love to share cool sites, you know. So I've got this cool set of websites people I don't think know about, and I'm going through. I'm having such a great time. Oh, you know, you may not have heard of this website. You got to hear about the. You know, this is free. You could do this other thing. You guys hear me doing this almost every week. So that's good. That's good. And we get done with that, and we do a little spots and spots. Or he's like, "Man, you're doing a great job." We get back on the air again. Those laser eyes. What else you got? Mike, what else you got? And I got to say, you know, it's 10 years later. I haven't run out, I guess. So.
Oh, no, you haven't. Yeah. Let's talk about it at 9:55. I mean, 10:55.
Yeah, exactly. 10:55. But the one deep comment I want to make about that is that, so at the, and I, this came to me last night as I was driving home, and I'm looking, you know, I was thinking about all the people sitting in that room, and so many, and you named just a few. I don't even want to start the naming of people because it won't end until I get through 150 names, if I want to be fair. There's so many people so dedicated, and every single one of them I know, they hear that voice in their head. You know, they get done. You look around and you say, "Oh my gosh." And you wipe your brow. "We're done. I finished. We're on the air. The radio station happened. We're making stuff go. There's programs." But then there's that voice. "What else you got?" And we keep hearing it. We keep hearing it. And it keeps going.
I don't listen.
Yeah, I know. Mike Bermuth.
I never have to worry. I never have to worry about running out of anything. All I have to come up with is a halfway provocative question that you don't listen to anyway, and then you start talking. So it works out.
Then
great.
I go.
It works out great.
Yeah. It's true.
You take a lot of pressure off.
Oh man! But I do want to do a special shout out though to Mike Bermuth, who is definitely a member extraordinaire. He's been up on the top of our towers. He's been down digging in the dirt, making stuff happen, and really was here from the very beginning too. He was.
He's a station engineer, by the way.
Station engineer. Yeah. Sadly, was smushed by a tree.
Crushed.
He was crushed by a tree.
He was crushed by a log. A big 30-foot long hunk of tree fell on him. He's had internal injuries like crazy. Crushed his arm and everything. Gallbladder, spleen. I can't have lung.
Yeah.
Really, really bad. But he's doing okay.
That's what I couldn't believe. I kept hearing the story of these logs crushing him. But, you know, and he's one of those guys, I'm telling you.
Yeah.
No one ever had to say to him, "What else you got?"
Yeah,
he was always bringing it.
Yeah.
He was always bringing it.
And
he'll be back.
Not that easy to kill.
No. He is one and a cockroach.
And in parts of Mike's history, that's a really good thing. We could tell stories, but no, we can't.
No, we can't.
There are stories we cannot tell you at all, folks.
Nope,
trust
nope,
me,
not on the air.
This has been this is when one interesting roller coaster ride. Yeah,
absolutely. And I was so happy that they honored you in particular, Dave. I've known you for 10 years. You've been certainly. I mean, co-host is like that's like third or fourth on the list of things you are to me. It's just been beautiful knowing you and wonderful to have you around, and the station would not stand without you. There's no doubt. That period with Stan and the whole crew, and he, you know, I'm pointing on his name. He mentioned it last night. There was an exodus from RLR where it could have collapsed if there hadn't been some strong people involved that wanted it to be what it is. And you were the leading that charge and making it happen, smoothing the rough edges when the rough edges were there, and getting your shoe up people's behind when they needed it once in a while too.
That never happened. Stop spreading slander.
Shaking your goofy tambourine.
yeah. No. I don't know. Well, I'll speak. Okay, I don't.
But the speech great. And the speech was wonderful, and it was wonderfully crafted, and it was very radio, and it was great, and it really did bring back so many of those memories and everything for WLR, and it's been a ride.
This place, folks, you're so lucky to have this in your community, and the people that are part of it are so fortunate to be a part of it. It's an incredible institution, and it does a lot of good for the community itself, and for the people that help make it happen. It's a life changing experience.
Should I play that "How to Become a Sponsor" thing on here now? I'm looking on.
Oh yeah, that's the best. Actually, to tell you the truth, if you're not a sponsor of WLR and you've ever thought about it, this is the place. This is the place. If you want good stuff to happen in your community. And you want to give back, this is the place to do it.
Yeah, I'm looking for you. I'll have to play it at some point here.
Yeah,
but absolutely, it should be noted that not a single one of the people that I named gets any sort of remuneration.
Yeah, nobody's
from
buying
this.
Me gas.
No. No.
Nobody's paying for my hotel.
Blood, sweat, tears, cash, whatever we've got. Yeah. What else you got? Yeah. That's the question always. Yeah. What else you got? Yeah. My pockets are empty, Bish. What else you got? Yeah. So, so if you are in the community, or even if you just love listening to it, maybe not us. I don't know. Maybe it was somebody else. But if you like any of that,
there's lots better shows if you just listen for a while.
Oh yeah, exactly. Don't turn the dial. Something better will come. It's kind of like weather in Chicago. Just wait. Something better will come around. If you do enjoy it or want to support not just this community station, but the whole idea of community stations, make it a viable thing. Go to our website. There is a place there that you can donate, and or else give a call if you want to be on the air too. That's how it happens. Give a call and see what slots are open, what's happening.
So, get involved.
Everybody, there's ways to get involved, a million and one different ways, all good stuff and all good ways to do it. Well, we should probably get back to the actual legitimate topic at hand.
Technology.
Yeah.
Well, radio's technology, I guess.
Yeah. So I just found out this was the eye opener to me. The big reveal to me is that most women are fake. That was the news report I read. Most of the women are fake. I by that I mean most of the women on Ashley Madison that were supposedly going to cheat on their husbands with you. You had the numbers at hand last night. I don't know what they were.
Well, first of all, it's like 38 million users. Okay, 12 million have been of those, which is less than a third, have been identified as women.
Mm.
However, real women. I guess they were generating, and some of this, not all of this has come out yet, but it appears there are emails going back and forth, and you know more about this than I do, but that they were generating fake female accounts, and that there were probably somewhere around 12,000 actual women.
Only 12,000?
Only 12,000 actual human breathing females.
Out
probably.
Of the 12 million supposed now,
some of those were probably many were paid, I think.
I'm just trying to picture putting that on my resume. I was a fake woman for for a major. I was 10,000 fake women for
But when you think about this, if this was an empire, and I don't know about the actual cost. Somebody at the party last night, whose name I'm not going to mention, said that they actually had joined, but for nefarious reasons or for research.
He was investigating.
He was investigating. I actually believe him.
Yeah, no, I do too.
This morning, last night I wasn't, but this morning I believe him. He joined, and we were trying to figure out. But the point is that it's not cheap. It's fairly expensive, and there were 38 million. Okay, let's take out the 12 million. So that's still 26 million people spending a lot of money. So this empire was built on this huge fraud.
Yeah.
How can we get in on something like that?
That's what I was saying last night. It's like, I just need to be a little less, just a touch. Not even that much for me. It's just a little push in the right direction of losing my, what little ethics I do have. And I could.
And that is, by the way, I hate to jump back into this, but that's what you won your award for last night, was the WRLR smartphone app.
Oh, yeah.
Which is so true. Cool, and which everybody needs to get. If you don't have it, you got to get it.
This is going to be dead air for 2 seconds here. I got to crank something up. Hold on.
You got it. Dead air. Did you forget I'm here? I can talk.
I don't know. There's no difference. All right.
Of course, so dead air is part of the tradition of our show.
I had to bring it up. I'm showing Dave. I've got a prototype iOS app is up and running, and it's actual active. That actually plays the station and is ready to go. I'm showing Dave. Of course, that makes for good radio, too. Look at that. Look at this, folks.
That's a great display on that screen on the iPad.
But, it's not completely built yet. There's not the depth of functionality that the Android app has, but the iOS app is coming out. It will be here. Don't quote me on this, but I'm hoping that by the end of September, early October, that we'll have that on the App Store for all of you Apple people. If you're an Android person, you can get the app right now. Go to the Google Play Store or Amazon App Store, either one, and just type in WRLR, and it pops right up. It's the very first thing. You log that into your system, and you're going to get us all day, 24/7.
Oh boy,
it's free. It's free though,
and not us. You're gonna get WRLR. The other nice folks on WRLR, not
yes.
us.
Yes, and the app. Just to put in a little bit of info for people too. It's the nice thing about it, and there are, of course, the kind of like having your car radio in your car. You get all the stations, and tune ins like that. And there's other ones like that you get all the stations. This is really just about WRLR, and that means you get all the information about the station is easily accessible. Our sponsors are highlighted, and you can find out more about them. We're adding banner functionality to that so that you will see the sponsors that are being supportive of the station and can click through and find out more about them easily. You can already click through on the songs that are playing. So when we've got the songs playing during the day in the automation, you can click and find out more information or even buy those tracks if you want to. All sorts of great stuff is available through that. You can see our schedule too. There's a link for the schedule on air, and you'll know what's coming up over the next day. And it's good stuff.
And you're in the process of marketing this app, right? Customizing it for other stations.
I am. Yeah, I've been. I don't normally talk too much about it, but I do market this now. I developed it initially for WRLR. It will always be free for WRLR station. But if you have a station or if you've got a place, go to 43folderstech.net, and there's more information there, including some price ranges for the variety of app capabilities. And give me a call. We'll work it out.
Yeah. The cost is great value for the marketing provides for your station.
That's and this was typical. It was just like the football stadium with Stan and I. It was one of those where I had the idea. I was like, hey, we should have an app for WRLR. Why don't we have it? And I went online and I looked and I went everywhere I could think of to find an app. Because I'm like, come on, somebody has done this, made an app for a radio station that you can just, how tough could it be? Just monkey it together and then throw some logos on there or something. Turns out it's not that easy, I guess. And there weren't any cheap options out there, because we need low cost options here as a community station. And when I found out that there wasn't any, I said, well, I'll just build it myself. And, true WRLR spirit.
Yeah.
And
not only is it, but that's a tradition. That's if we're involved with someplace like WRLR, you learn stuff.
Yeah. Yeah.
You learn a lot of stuff.
Absolutely. Yeah. Absolutely. Hey, speaking of learning stuff and smart people, we got to get our good friend Jay Garman on.
Yeah.
Now we'll see if we're able to pull him in. He was out last week with some family business, and now he's now that school is in session, we're starting the
Of smart guys, we were sitting with a smart guy last night. I forgot his name. We were sitting with a physicist last night.
Oh yes, one of the Kingsleys. Rob? I think it was Rob.
No, it's not a Kingsley. By the way, the award now that we won is called the Rich Kingsley Award. Hi, Jay Garman. Good morning.
Good morning.
How you doing, fellas?
Pretty good. We spent most of the morning talking about how great we are, Dave and I. And then that topic ended as quickly as you would imagine. No, we're riding off the high of the Geo Awards were last night. It is, believe it or not, it was the 10-year anniversary of WRLR being a station. And I think Tech Talk and you and I mean,
about
Dave,
eight. I've only been around. No, it's been about 9 years.
Yeah,
for
about
me.
9 years.
Yeah, it was fairly early on. It seems like it. But it was fairly early on.
Yep. And I sweet talked and lied and did whatever I could. I won't use the word blackmail, but somehow convinced Jay to come on the air with us and have never let him pause long enough to regret it.
Well, you know, you think it would have caught on after like 7.5 years.
Yeah. Exactly.
Jay, you're the best part of the show. Right? And I'm not kidding. I'm really not kidding.
Sorry if that's true. That cannot be okay. They would give Rob Schott first 2 hours if that was true. Yeah.
I think they're talking about it, actually. This is the only part of the show that keeps that from happening. So. Mm. you're back and tough to get a hold of now, I know, as well, so I don't know how long we're gonna have you. As you mentioned, school is back in session, which means for you and your family, cross country running and all that fun stuff is happening, so you're gonna be all over the place, right?
Yeah, and believe it or not, this morning wasn't even a race. It was a scrimmage. Three elementary schools got together, four, I guess, if you count the homeschool group, got together and decided, you know what? We need to get the parents ready to get up and get early in the morning. So 8:45 this morning, I was out of the park walking a course cross country. It's like, oh, someone's kind of mowed this. This is great.
Oh, man. Yeah, now, hopefully the weather is a little bit better for where you are than it is here. I would not be excited about getting outside. It's raining quite heavily here. Not a lot of fun.
At the Lake County Fairgrounds, they've got something called Mud Fest or something like that. That people are wrestling in the mud or running in the mud or.
Oh yeah yeah. Yeah. Muck. I think it's Muck Fest.
Yeah, I think that's it. I think
yeah,
you're right.
I was going to sign up for that a year or two ago, and then I don't know, a moment of sanity convinced me not to do it. So yeah, running in the mud can be fun if you're looking forward to it for some reason. My wife and I were just complaining too. I don't know if you feel the same way sometimes, Jay, or maybe not quite yet. I can't remember how old your oldest is, but we've got two in high school now, and these sports, I'm telling you, it is a lot of time and effort and getting up early and hauling the kids around, and I just don't remember it being like that when I was in high school.
Well, I mean, I didn't play sports because I'm what you call a nerd, and academic team competitions tend to happen around lunch, so it wasn't a big deal. You know, you don't really need, like, to get out before it gets hot when you're going to be inside, like, a hotel conference center all day with fake Jeopardy buzzers. You're pretty good, rain or shine, any schedule.
Yeah, I guess, and you've got a good point. So I'm looking back, and I was in marching band, so that was about as close to sports as I got.
What'd you play? What instrument?
Trombone. I was the big bone, man. Oh, I had that going on, and then I was on the chess team and math league, and also to we did the science Olympiad, which was very cool. In fact, that was traveling. We traveled for that, so that was my Jeopardy buzzer experience thing too. Which at that time. And you'll know this as well, Jay, we're a lot more finicky than they are now. I recall heartbreak and pain because the buzzers themselves didn't work. Not that we didn't know the answers as a team, which was tough.
Yeah, you've always had to.
We were very rigorous about testing, although the system we had, I kid you not, and this was still in the early 90s, ran on a Commodore 64. We had to keep hauling these things out, and there was two teams of four, and they ran on buzzers, and the buzzers were the foot pedals you used with sewing machines.
Oh, wow. Oh, see, now that's a good idea.
But that's not on-off. That's a rheostat. Those pedals aren't.
But as soon as any part of that circuit closes,
it
worked. So it's very tolerant. Like I think the reason they picked that system is you're supposed to use this with the things that you put the foot pedals from. Like, not even high schoolers could break these. And if you did, you went down to the sewing store and you got another one for $9. Like, that was well thought. Again, some like national tournaments, we went to the ones that were like a little handheld, like beta capsules that you would see like Ultraman use.
Yes.
With a little tiny red button. And like, these aren't going to last five. This is going to last half a season.
Yep.
Like, I could break this thing looking at it crosswise. So I was impressed with the thought put into the devices we used, but the fact that the only only system that could run that program was a Commodore 64, which with, you know, VGA graphics that like made Star Wars look cutting edge, was unreal.
Yeah. No, that's well, and you're absolutely right. Those the ones that you were talking about that would make about half a season. Those were the ones we had, and then we would travel. We'd go other places, and they would have better equipment, but it would be slap buzzers, and those were even worse because, of course, those just get beat repeatedly over and over and over again. So.
The foot pedals you can actually keep in your grip, and it just basically became a reflex to squeeze. And you can always tell someone who played a lot of academic team right after they get done playing, you know, kids early in college, is they'll be watching Jeopardy or some other show, and when they want to answer, you see their hand spasm a little bit. Like, oh, you're used to hitting the clasper right there.
Yep, exactly. Oh, man. Well, you know, after last night and then the first half of this program, I think we probably had enough nostalgia. time to move to more current stuff. I was going to ask you, Jay, so we had a long, long discussion about this last year because of the Sad Puppies. The Hugo Awards were in disarray. They've been announced again now this year in Spokane, Washington. And so what's happening? Are the Sad Puppies a thing anymore? Is discrimination and racism going to be part of the Hugo Awards from now on, or what's the deal?
By most accounts, the Sad Puppies, the anti-diversity contingent, has been repudiated. And it took a bit of a scorched earth policy. For those that don't understand the full context here, there was a group called the Sad Puppies, and there was another group called the Rabid Puppies, so collectively known as the Puppies, that ran slates, that nominated slates for inclusion in for the Hugo Awards, which are the most prestigious award in science fiction prose. They do actually do dramatic presentation awards, but I mean, even people who are Hugo fanatics don't know who won. This year's winner was Guardians of the Galaxy for best dramatic presentation long form, deservedly so. But I guarantee you that James Gunn is not worried about whether or not Guardians of the Galaxy won a Hugo. It means nothing to him. Putting a Hugo winner on a novel can guarantee it stays in print.
Yes.
That means a lot to authors. And it means and there are a number of different writing categories: novel, novelette, novella, short story, audio presentation. Like, it means a big deal for those other types of media work.
I just want to make a quick comment too. You know, the best novel, that is one of the awards that I did hear about, the Three Body Problem, which is by Lu. I can't remember his first name, but it's written,
Xian, I think is how it's pronounced. It's Chinese, so I'm it's like Cixian, or Iun, like Cixian Liu.
Cixian Liu, something like that. So it was translated, though, and I believe by his son or brother or something. And so it's a Chinese novel translated into English and then being given this award. And you talk about the diversity in fiction, and that's just an amazing thing to me, just that this happens at all and that the book is is accepted and used, but then it wins an award. From all accounts that I've heard, it is an absolutely fabulous book. I have it on my list to read. Actually, I'm going to be on a trip starting next week over Memorial Day there, and looking forward to reading that actually on the plane. So anyways, I didn't want to derail entirely, but I want to mention that type of a novel is exactly what you're talking about. If it were not for the Hugo Awards and similar situations, I don't know that it would be in people's consciousnesses. I don't know that it would be showing up on the recommended reading lists of the Overdrive and other library selection picks that you have now.
That is exactly the kind of novel that they wanted people to discover, that the Hugo Awards just are designed for. And the Sad Puppies thought everything should still be Heinlein and, you know, rah-rah spaceships and ray guns and nothing that was dealing with sort of any sort of social issue or commentary or so on and so forth. So they ran slates and basically got together a cadre of groups to game the nominating process to be anti-diverse, effectively.
Mm-hmm.
And rather intentionally ran some rather vile people on some of these slates. And the result was that Worldcon, which is the World Science Fiction Convention, you have to be at least a contributing supporter to vote on Hugo winners. The minimum price is like $40, had a record number of voters this year. And in categories where only puppy slate members were on the nomination list, they gained the system so well, the community decided to award nothing. They voted no award in those categories rather than give it to anyone on an anti-diversity slate.
Mm-hmm.
So there were three or four categories, short story, novella, and then novelette, get completely awarded nothing rather than give it to the puppies.
Yeah. Yeah. And I just got a chance to pull up the listing here, and and these are not minor awards, you know, best novella, best short story, best editor, long form and short form. None of those had winners this year. And the winners that are there, though, are such a slap in the face to the Sad Puppy, to their mantra. You look at, you know, the three body problem we just mentioned, but now I'm looking down the list. I didn't realize this. Best graphic story, Miss Marvel, Volume 1. best dramatic presentation, Orphan Black, which is about the main character is also a strong female character, or set of female characters, I should say.
Yeah.
Difficult to describe, but there's clones involved. I'll give that that reveal on it. Which I gotta say too, my wife and I huge fans of Orphan Black, so I could not be more pleased with that selection as a winning selection. It seems, looking at the list of awarded versus the couple they have with the no awards, that they made a pretty strong statement to the Sad Puppies.
It very much did, and I have to wonder if the puppies are going to at any point try this again, because clearly all they can do is wreck the awards and they can't win them. But that's been made very clear.
Mm-hmm.
Now on the rabid puppy side, I would think they might count that as a victory. On the sad puppy side, there were a couple of authors that generally thought no. They I think they genuinely believed there was a silent majority of fans that actually wanted old-fashioned slide rules and rocket ships fiction. If you just gave them a chance, they come out and support them. And by the way, also some of the guys that organized this write that kind of fiction, and therefore they'd win.
Mm-hmm.
And I think now they understand, no, not only are you not going to win, we're never going to let you in particular ever win. And they sort of proved their point. They forced the behavior, the exact behavior they said was already going on.
Mm-hmm.
And I thought the best moment of the night was that George R. R. Martin, who has long ago founded the Hugo Losers Club, because he'd been nominated so many times without winning for Wild Cards and other parts. I think he really hadn't won until his TV series got on. Long ago, he was one of the co-founders of this club, actually had his regular Hugo Losers Party, and from his own pocket, created what he called the Alfred Bester Award, the Besties, and awarded them to people who probably would have won on the places where there was no award if the puppies hadn't gamed the system.
Oh, that's fantastic. That's fantastic. and what a great what a great name for the awards too. I like it. Yeah, I'm also a fan of Alfred Bester. Stars My Destination, I think, is probably his most well known books. The piece that I'm looking at is from the Los Angeles Times, and he's actually, even though he's not one of the winners this year, that's whose picture they've got on the on the cover of the article about it. So I'm just happy that the Hugo Awards is not going to, it doesn't appear anyways, it's not dead this year. We'll see what happens with it next year. But as I'm looking down the list, I wish I'd done this earlier, the Campbell Award for Best New Writer, Wesley Chu, fantastic author, and actually, in fact, kind of fits if he wasn't Chinese, he probably fits into a lot of the definition that the Sad Puppies would like to see winning these. In that his books that I've read by him, they're a little psychedelic, but very very plot driven, action oriented, exciting and fun stories. So a good fit for kind of what they want to get across. Although there is a lot of social discussion within the books too, now that I'm thinking of it. But I don't know about you, but I'm just happy that the Hugos are not going to be destroyed.
No, I think they are going to survive. And I also think, ironically, so one of the things they voted on at this World Science Fiction Convention, or the next World Science Fiction Convention, is going to be held, and I'm pretty sure Helsinki, Finland won. So not only are they like, I'll show you diversity, we're going to another freaking country.
Excellent. I like it. And I've heard it's a beautiful place. Oh man. So I've actually got Dave here in the studio. I'm not letting him talk at all.
You don't have to. you guys have got it. But I'm sort of puzzled by this whole thing with the sad puppies and the rabid puppies. If they, you know, they are going to Helsinki, so is that good? Do you think, will that fundamentally change the political process?
I don't think so. There's been a big effort to get more foreign countries involved because there aren't a lot of contributing members that mail in their non-attending memberships from other countries when the convention is held in the United States, but it generally is. Or they're at least in an Anglophone country. So when it goes to other countries, it really brings in the English reading audience that is non-English speaking, or non-primarily English speaking. That's a big deal. And what it also does is it gets a whole lot more people that know they just can't afford. Like, it was in Portland this year, and frankly, if anyone has ever flown to Portland, it's about as expensive as flying to Finland. Because it's the end of the airline. Like, there's no, the airlines aren't going anywhere past Portland. Like, it's the end of the line, the plane stops and turns around. So you can fly on, from Louisville, Kentucky, where I'm from, it is literally cheaper to fly to South America than Portland.
Flying to Finland, it's probably, at least I know from Chicago, or especially if you're coming from New York, it's probably if anything, a little shorter of a flight to make it to Finland.
Yes, it is. So there are places in Mexico that are closer than Portland, Oregon, but to Louisville, Kentucky, certainly.
Yeah.
My point with that being, there's a lot of folks who just know they can't travel that far. They can't afford it. They can't drive it. So they just make up their mind they're going to just be a contributing member. And when they make up their mind on that, they get much more involved in the nominating process as opposed to the voting process, because the voting process you can do on site, I'm told, at the convention. So if they don't know whether they're going to just support or attend, they tend to sit out the nominating process in a lot of cases as opposed to get involved in the nominations. You had to have attended the previous year to nominate. Again, we had a record number of people vote this year, which means all those people can nominate next year for Helsinki, including ones that aren't going to go there. So it's going to be a big, big deal. And I think there's a motivated and, I guess, mobilized group out there ready to maintain control of the awards. I also think they're probably going to change the process somehow to make it more difficult. I'm not really sure. There's been a number of articles written about this, but I'm pretty sure they're going to do something about changing the process to really do a better job of thwarting slates.
Mm-hmm.
Well, yeah,
but isn't this kind of just a symptom of a kind of a larger geek culture that's a little bit misogynistic. That's the, I could have said misogynist. I could have, but and you know, there's a bit of a kind of a macho, you know, testosterone factor here, isn't it? That's a bigger part of geek culture. I mean, is there? Do you think of this? This would be a political mechanism to help address that, or do you think there needs to be a bigger discussion about that aspect of being a geek?
I do think there is. This is part of a larger issue in geek culture overall. It actually happened in comic books first. My other great passion with the whole fake geek girl issue that's still raging. But it's interesting. I have friends, because my wife calls me the daywalker. I'm a member of different social groups. Friends that are into restoring classic cars. And the funny thing is that the automobile like subculture went through this about 10 years ago, when all those shows sort of on Discovery and other TV networks about, you know, restoring your car or you know, customizing or getting into old cars, and a whole lot of women decided they wanted to get into that. And this had very clearly always been a guy's subculture, and it got really ugly really fast. And what I think is you're just seeing this repeated pattern of it, or places where people who were generally male, generally affluent in some way, and also generally somewhat socially awkward in some fashion, those three things together had carved out some subculture. And now that between the broadening of television networks and the broadening of the internet, and everyone sort of has this way of discovering these other subcultures without meeting the people in them. that's a big deal. That they're sort of, those aren't being walled off separate sort of quasi sacred places for the rich white male misanthropes out there. Mm-hmm. You know, hacker spaces have been one of the few places I've seen that have generally avoided this, because they're so new. Women have been there from the beginning, but it's also, if you go to any hacker spaces, maker spaces, they skew very young. You know, in the old days, engineers had to go and get their own barn or their own garage, and they didn't share space. And now with all these younger generations getting together and making collective workshops, and they sort of show up multicultural and multigendered, and it's like, that's just how it rolls.
Yeah.
But any other place I've been where it's sort of been smart guys with wealth that are generally white, when people of color or people of different genders start rolling in, they get, no, this is my safe place, because I don't know how to handle other people than people who are exactly like me. And I came here to be people exactly like me, and they just don't take well to having to deal with different people in that subculture. And it's just sort of a growing pain.
Yeah,
they're going to have to go through.
I love that turn of phrase that you have, the rich white male misanthrope. I think that's a great turn of phrase. And, you know, who would think that that would describe a presidential candidate?
And I've got at least three of those. So.
Yeah, I'm pretty
a couple of them.
I kind of fit that, except for the rich part.
Yeah, well, that's what I think. Yeah, you know, and I think you're right. I think too that what we're seeing is it's a noisiness that's coming. You know, we've had, and I'm bothering somebody else, but you know, in the past there's been the quiet misanthropy of dismissal.
Yeah, wasn't that great? Yeah,
the quiet misogyny of dismissal. And you can't just can't ignore it anymore. And people are being noisy about not wanting to be ignored. And and being noisy about wanting to be a part of something that they could not be for because of the dismissal. We are coming close to the end of our show, though. Because I'm the host, I get to say the last word. I think what happened with the Hugo Awards moving to Finland is that the sad puppies told them, they said, "Hey, you guys with the Hugo Awards, go to hell." And they said, "Sinky?" So, all right, I'll end it on that. Jay,
I'm glad you used your executive privilege for that.
Absolutely. That's what the show's about, man.
Yeah, we're going to rethink that whole executive privilege thing.
Award-winning host, oh, yeah, Michael yeah. Kessler, yeah. gets yeah. the...
Well, that was the other thing, by the way. You, they had an award for you. We were supposed to both get an award for the show, and I didn't get one.
I felt bad about that. I wanted you to take it. Anyways, all right, we're not back on this topic again. Jay, so last week, I know we were hearing, we were going to hear about Google again, and their whole new Alphabet Soup website. I've gone on Alphabet Soup. Alphabet website, and links that were on there that we may not be easy to find. What was the geek trivia question and answer from last week?
So the question was, so Google has relaunched it as a holding company called Alphabet, of which Google search engine is now one of several subsidiaries. And on this massive industry-changing announcement site, there were only three outgoing links. And so I asked, what were the three? One was an outgoing link to investor.google.com, which explained to Google shareholders their full disclosure of how the stock was being restructured. That makes sense. One was a link to Calico, one of only two of the holding companies that don't have the word Google in the name. Calico was Google's life extension experimentation lab. And hidden on the page, where you had to go into the view source to find it, was a secret link to Huli XYZ, which is the Google analog from Silicon Valley, the sitcom on HBO.
Yes.
So they don't talk about Google on Silicon Valley. They have a stand-in called Huli, and the website that HBO has put up for Huli is Huli.xyz. And so not only is it about Google, it's one of the only websites out there that uses the .xyz domain name, because top-level domain, Alphabet uses abc.xyz, ironically, because Alphabet.com and most of its variations are owned by BMW, because BMW Fleet Services are Alphabet Incorporated. So there's very few companies on the planet that can stop Google from getting a domain name, but BMW is one of them.
Wow.
So it's, abc.xyz, they're like, there's a Google joke site out there. It's got the .xyz domain name. And so they secretly linked it to a reference to delivery drones on the page. You have to view source to see it, but there is an outgoing link to Huli.xyz on the Alphabet page.
Excellent. And if anybody out there has the opportunity to, but has not yet seen Silicon Valley, if you've never spent time in Silicon Valley and with some of these events and the insanity that goes there, you'll still get a wonderful kick out of it. It's a great show. Dave is looking at his watch. This is the problem with him being in studio, is I don't get away with anything. What should we be thinking about next week, Jay?
Well, I'm calling audible here. We're going to do a trivia question about the Hugo Awards, actually.
Oh, fantastic.
Hugos are bestowed by science fiction fans at Worldcon, and there's a sister award called the Nebula Award, which is bestowed by members of the Science Fiction and Fantasy Writers of America, professionals. So one is the fan award and one is the professionals award. There's only been four authors that have had the same book win the Hugo and Nebula Award and have done it twice. So there's a lot of books that have won both awards, but only four authors have had two books do it. So who are the four authors that have not only had a book win both the Hugo and Nebula Award, but have had two books win both the Hugo and the Nebula Award?
Oh, wow. Oh, wow. Man. Oh, that's a great question.
That's fantastic.
Got to be somebody we recognize, too. And speaking of people.
And I will tell you this. Take this, Sad Puppies. One of them's a woman.
Cool.
Outstanding. Wow. Oh, man. CJ Chair. I'm trying to think who it could be.
Very topical.
So, Jay, though, speaking of recognition, I want to say it wasn't, it didn't happen last night at the Geo Awards, but honestly, when they were handing out the awards, I felt like there was a seat next to me that should have been filled by you, standing right there, accepting that award. You've been a part of the show for in an important, vital part of the show for as long as I can honestly. I mean, my memories are not that great, but as long as I can remember, you've been here with it. I say shout out and awards to you as well for sticking with us and always adding a little bit of class and intelligence to a show that desperately needs it every week.
Well, I very much appreciate that, guys, and I'm very grateful for the opportunity. You came and found me during the forced hiatus of my old Geek Trivia column and said, hey, you want to come do this on the radio? And I was like, yeah, why not? I'd love to keep doing this. And it's been one of the most entertaining and rewarding things I've done with my Saturdays my entire life. So I'm very grateful for the opportunity, and let's keep doing until they make a stop.
Yeah,
you got it.
Your contribution is immeasurable, Jay. Thank you very much.
Absolutely. And I can't wait till the next time I get down there and can hang out with you guys and your amazing friends and the wonderful community you've got around you there. At that, though, I do have to cut us out. Jay, have a phenomenal, phenomenal week. We'll be doing this hopefully for another 7.5 years. And go spend time with your family doing some cross-country stuff, too.
Will do. You guys have a good weekend and try and stay dry.
Take care, Jay.
Thank you. Thanks. Thanks, Jay.
Love the guy.
Jay! Geek Trivia Garmin, jgarmin.net. He's always got more stuff going on, and I meant every word of it when we're saying he really has been an amazing part of the show, and it wouldn't be the show that it is without him, that's for sure.
Or any show.
Yeah. Yeah. It probably would. At that, I don't know if Rob, I don't see Rob here, so I don't think Rob Pyatt with Rob Shot First, or maybe it's Science for the Win. I don't know. They were giving awards out with different names last night for him. I don't know if he has two shows or if it's the same show with a different
name. I don't know.
It's a
but
great
in any
show.
Case, something great will be on in a minute.
Absolutely. You've been you listening to Tech Talk on WRLR 98.3 LPFM in Round Lake Heights, Illinois. I am going to leave you with a podcast-only song of the week. If
cool.
I can pull it up here, it is going to be... Oh, and I picked it out ahead of time, too, today. I actually went through
and had
something I really wanted us to enjoy. This is
Nady gods forgive you.
Yeah, I know. This is about as close to country as I'm gonna get. Chet Faker. And his take on No Diggity.
Is Diggity? That's the noise I was making.
The name of the song is Diggity. Yeah, see, but he says no diggity. That's what he says.
No diggity. Damn.
That's supposed to be.
Damn, I was looking for some diggity.
No,
we're out of diggity.
No diggity.
The diggity is gone.
Allowed.
Damn.
All right, everyone. Chet Faker. No diggity. This has been Tech Talk on WRLR 98.3 LPFM in Round Lake Heights, Illinois. And yet, Dave Sparky Saganaki, Jay, Geek Trivia Garmin, and Michael Kassler signing out. Have a great week, everyone.
Bye.
Got class and style. Hey yo, hey yo, hey yo. I gotta bag it up.